I said, rock me, mama.
Welcome to the All Things Blues and Southern Rock Podcast, a southern storm of bold, liberating rock, shot through with blues, soul, and gospel. And now, your hosts for the show, Brian Jones and Jason Johannes.
Welcome to another episode of the All Things Blues and Southern Rock Podcast on Pantheon Podcast, where you could go to find your most preferred style of music podcast. Plenty of stuff on there. Great thing to check out. We're glad to be there. So with me always is Jason. What's going on this evening?
Howdy, howdy, howdy. We got some fun stuff to talk about. But before we do that, everybody listening, make sure you subscribe, download, sign up on all your favorite podcast platforms so you make sure you get the most up-to-date episodes. Right, Brian? Because we got a lot of good stuff coming.
Yeah, we do. We do. We're going to get right into this because it's big enough, but you may have heard Howard Stern played a snippet of a new Black Crowes tune the other day, and the song comes out Friday, and the title is
One Thing in Waiting, off their upcoming record to be released March 15, 2024, Happiness Bastards.
Yeah, that little bit that I heard that Howard Stern basically talked about. So it sounds good, man. It sounds, we all like those that we talk to a lot about the Crowes, you know, are kind of in, you know, seem to think, yeah, it sounds kind of like By Your Side era stuff, but it sounds like them. It sounds good. I'm excited about it. I'll be getting that record as soon as it comes out. Totally. Yeah, I like it. I like it.
Yeah, man. I'm psyched. I'll be honest. I was not a fan of the Before the Frost record and that that country bluegrassy thing.
No,
not my thing. I know people love I Ain't Hiding, that the very disco-y song too. And I don't like that song either. So I am very excited. That's not going to be the last record of their career that we've got this one coming.
Yeah,
and from what we've heard the first song, it's already rocky and like, bring it on. And we would, Brian, we've said this many times, we would not be doing this podcast without the Black Crowes.
Yeah. And because of the Black Crowes, we wouldn't be doing this podcast because what came before us and, you know, besides the Black Crowes, without the State of America, we wouldn't be doing this. And who better to talk to about the Black Crowes than our buddy David Hudson from the State of America?
Yeah, so with this, we wanted to have David and Ian on already. We were already working to get him on. This just made us do it quicker. David was only available. Ian was not available tonight. So we get David on. We're going to talk about what's going on with State of America. And more importantly, this Crowes news and what to expect from the Crowes in 2024.
Yeah, so once again, we're going to stop talking. And you're going to kick back and relax and listen to our conversation with David Hudson from the State of America. At the guest segment of the podcast, and Jason's gonna introduce this familiar looking dude here with us now.
Yeah, and it's always my pleasure, and I'm always excited to introduce a guest. But when it's a really good friend of ours, somebody we haven't spoken to, at least on this podcast in a while, I get ultra excited over it. So on this very special Black Crowes episode, we've got one of the two guys who lead the best Black Crowes podcast in the world, the biggest cheerleaders for the Black Crowes, and Rich and Chris should really go on their show. It is David Hudson from the state of Amorca. How you doing, David?
You guys are scraping the bottom of the barrel for your guests today. Hey, you also we're not only the best Black Crowes podcast, we're the worst Black Crowes podcast.
You're the only Black Crowes podcast.
Yeah, so we
come on. We don't want to lose the luster of this very big buildup I did for David.
We fit both those categories. Now, thanks for having me. It's always fun. And Jason, I still haven't gotten a check for getting you hooked up with this gig, but not that I hold grudges.
Well, I think like managers or agents, don't they take like 10% or something of the cut of what you make?
Mm-hmm. You'll give me like a dollar.
I'll get you a couple bucks next time I see you.
Okay.
It's either that or I'll pay and scratch off lotto tickets. Your choice.
How's everything in Jackson, Mississippi?
Man, it's cold.
It's cold in Mississippi, huh?
I was telling you guys before, Monday night it's supposed to be 8 degrees here, which means like the world's gonna shut down. No, it's been a cold. We have cold winters. It's just not long stretches. I mean, it's nothing for us to get down in the teens, but the last 2 weeks, just highs in the mid 40s, lows in the low 30s, and that's unusual for us to sustain that. But you know what we say here in Mississippi is, if you don't like the weather, just wait an hour and it'll change. So it's going to be 70 like Friday, and then Sunday it's going to be like a high of 35. So everybody stay sick.
Well, the 70 must be nice. Like I say, it's like the direct opposite of up here. It's been like unusually not death cold yet.
Yeah, I couldn't.
Usually you step outside.
I've lost some weight, the more cold natured I've become, which is it worries people at work when they see me wearing a coat. Because funny story. I used to be the most hot natured human being you've ever seen. And if I wore a coat or whatever inside, like I was sick. One day at work, I was really sick. And I put a coat on, and everybody kind of looked at me scared. Well, the next morning my phone rings and it's our vice president. He goes, "Hey, what are you doing today?" I said, "I'm getting ready to come to work." He said, "No, you're not. I heard you wear a jacket all day yesterday. Don't bring that stuff in here." So, but yeah, I have become a lot more cold natured.
Well, it's really impressive too, like your transformation, what you're doing. How many pounds have you dropped?
125.
Wow. Forward. Wow.
It's like a full person. It's like a petite person.
Yeah. It's like a Chris Robinson.
It's like a Chris Robinson. It's like a really tall
circa 96.
You are following in the footsteps of brother Steve Jewell, bass player for Blackstone Cherry. I think he's
I feel great. I've lost 90 since last Valentine's Day, and then over the course of 3 or 4 years before that, I had lost the rest. But no, I feel great. I haven't had a cheat bite, let alone a cheat meal, since February 14th. And I exercise as much as I can, and I quit drinking. Haven't had any red meat. No white.
They're gonna
bread.
Kick you out of the South. You know that, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, I still eat a lot of like pork though.
Okay.
I only eat pork loin. I eat like the same 15 foods a day. But anyway, enough about my diet. People aren't tuning in for that.
What are we tuning in for, Jason?
Well, so two things.
What are they tuning in for?
There's some really big Black Crowes news coming out this week that we want to get to, because you guys are the premier place for Black Crowes related stuff. But first, you know, you guys have had a lot of change with your podcast, more change coming, do a lot of great stuff. We want to catch up on a little bit of what's happening in the world of the State of Amorca podcast.
Well, about 3 or 4 months ago, Ian had a very smart idea that we needed some help, and especially help with Patreon. And Jason Donsis was the first person that ever signed up for Patreon. He's been a huge supporter of the podcast. You and I both hung out with him for a little bit in Nashville a couple of years ago.
Yep.
And I don't know if he had mentioned he wanted to get into editing or something like that. And Ian just messaged me one night and he goes, "Hey, hope it's okay. I asked Jason to be our producer." And Ian is very meticulous about how things get produced and things like that. And so he sent a file to Jason And Jason edited it and sent it back. And Ian called me. He goes, man, I can't find anything wrong with it. And so we turned Patreon editing over to him for a while. And then he got more involved with it. And he actually edits some of the big episodes now, probably more than Ian does. And he pretty much does the dirty work for Patreon. He organizes the Zoom hangs, comes up with topics. He's actually booked us on a couple other. I mean, he's a true producer, and he won't let us pay him, and he still pays for his Patreon membership. I feel bad for it, but he has injected some creativity that was much needed after, you know, as many episodes as we've done. Sometimes you hit like a creative lull, and he has really come on board and kind of shaking things up a little bit. But he is a he's official member of State of Amorca. So if people ask us who does it, it's me and Ian and Jason. And I could not be more thankful for what he's done, because he does a great job with Patreon. When we started Patreon, I didn't realize how much work it was going to be. And we've been very blessed to have a lot of people on there, and people don't really leave. We've probably only lost 3 or 4 people over 3 years due to being dissatisfied with it. We've had some people drop out. They'll message, hey, it's just a financial thing. And most of them wind up coming back. But I would say our retention rate is somewhere between 95-96%. From what I've heard from other people who have Patreons, that's pretty outstanding. But we work our tail off to make it worth people's money. And so we appreciate everybody that joins. You guys are on there. You're some of the first. But we appreciate it.
Yeah, well, I think, Brian and I have talked about this before. We wouldn't be doing this podcast, I don't think, without you guys support and showing the way and lending some kind words and some help behind the scenes. So of course we're going to give you money.
yes. Join. We want more money. No, we put probably over half of it directly back into Patreon. Ian and I keep a small bit for ourselves, just because we've spent so much money over the years, you know, doing giveaways and trips and stuff. So I'm able to write some of that off now. And we do have to turn in a W-2 for Patreon, but no, and we still take money out of our own pocket to do things. But one of the things that's really cool, Dave Gorman, who's Steve Gorman's brother, is on Patreon. And I first met him in Nashville when all of us went to Trigger Hippie. And then I watched Trigger Hippie in Birmingham with him. I stood there with him the whole thing. And he's just the nicest guy. Well, when we were getting ready to go hang out with Johnny Colt, he messaged me. He said, hey, what's your address? I got a bunch of stuff to send you. So he sent me this huge box of exclusive Crow stuff and like tour books from Amorca, Three Snakes. I mean, just Steve Gorman's postcards that he sent Dave from around the world, all this stuff. And we got to give it away on Patreon. And that was a lot of fun. And we're very blessed that we have some people in that sphere that send us stuff. They always ask to remain anonymous, but it's some people pretty high up at one point or in their organization. And so I don't really keep any of it for myself. I enjoy sending stuff out. And when Johnny Colt was here at my house, he signed probably 35, 40 things we gave away, and just really appreciative of his friendship as well. But this thing, I never, 5 years ago when I had the idea to start it, Johnny Colt came to my house and sat in my living room. I mean, I just, that just still blows me away.
Hello, Pantheon podcast listeners. Christian Swain here to tell you more about my experience with Raycon earbuds. Our family now has 3 pairs of Raycon earbuds around the house. And my wife just grabbed a pair of the Headphone Pros to replace some headphones from a company that was double the price. And yes, she loves them. Now, if you haven't pulled the trigger on a pair of Raycons, or even if you have, but you're in the market for another pair because they're just that good, well, now is the time to check them out, because they just launched their upgraded model of the best-selling everyday earbuds. With Raycon's upgraded everyday earbuds, now you also get active noise cancellation, ergonomic design, and multi-point connectivity that lets you pair with 2 devices at once, new quick charge function, 3 customizable sound styles, plus awareness mode, available in a variety of vibrant new colors to complement any and all skin tones. I even have a pair of earbuds in a cool green color. I have tried just about every earbud known to humankind, and these Raycons are fantastic. Seriously, if you've been wanting to check out Raycons, there truly is no better time. You're going to ask yourself why you didn't check them out sooner. And Raycon offers a 30-day happiness guarantee. So what are you waiting for? Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order, plus free shipping. That's right. You'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon.
I saw the, I think it was on Instagram, I saw the picture of the State of America or America or Bust tour book. Like, what's in that? What, I don't think I've ever seen one of those.
So those are, so when Johnny came to my house, he gave me his personal Three Snakes and One Charm tour book. And it's absolutely fascinating. So let's say they're, Jason, you're, let's say they're playing Cincinnati. So it'll have like, hold on.
It's going to dig it out for us.
Yeah, hold on. Y'all can edit this commotion out.
We like that. I mean, listen, we like for our listeners to hear what really goes on out there.
David's looking for something in some sort of like State of America merchandise
museum.
Closet.
I think
I'm not sure. I'm not sure where it is, but so it's a binder. It's about this tall, you know, 5 or 6 inches tall. So to say, like Cincinnati, December 3rd. What's the name of a place they would play in Cincinnati?
Right, probably where they would play at that time. And well, they're bigger than Bogart's. Taft Theater. Taft Theater a couple times. Okay. Here you go.
Taft Theater. You give the address, the date, and it'll say like who's opening. But then here's where it gets fascinating. Bus arrives at 2:00. 2:30 load in begins. 3:00 sound check. 4:00 meal. And it breaks everything down. And then it gives the capacity of the venue and it gives like load out. It'll have like a little note or two at the bottom if there's something unique about it. But then almost all of them say nearest 24-hour restaurant. Oh, so it'll be like, yeah, Waffle House 5 blocks away or 2 blocks away. But anyway, it's pretty cool to go through. And it's more stuff. I haven't gone through all of it. But it was really cool that Johnny gave that to me. And then Dave gave me 2 Three Snakes tour books. He gave me 2 Amorca tour books, and he may have given me, he gave me a Lines, either a Lines or By Your Side tour book, but we gave them all away, and it's neat. I'll maybe on a Zoom hang, I'll pull it out and I'll read some of it to people because it's pretty cool.
I remember Steve saying in some interview quite a while years ago, like he said, you can name almost any U.S. city and he could tell you where there's a good diner or a laundromat.
No, I mean, it literally says on there nearest 24-hour restaurant. And most time it's like a Waffle House or a Denny's or something like that. But it's pretty cool. You think about how structured all of that is. And then to think about that tour book is put together before they go on tour. So all the hard work that went into that, it's fascinating.
Well, all that too, before, guys, you think about it, before really Google was a thing, and what kind of reconnaissance did you have to do to get all that information pre-internet?
Yeah, I'm sure it was one of those things like they call the venue art. What's the nearest Waffle House?
Yeah, maybe that's what it is, but you got a low-level person just calls everybody.
Yeah, it's fascinating though, but I'll next time we do a Zoom hang, I'll get it out and we'll read it.
I want to give Jason Donches a little bit more credit too. He's doing stellar work, like you said, production stuff. Some of the things I love about your Patreon are like the Patreon radio that you guys do. It's you and Ian and other guests get on and talk about certain bands or certain types of music. I love those because I love what you're going to come up with. I love to hear the songs. Those are always really cool. And you guys, just for a Patreon for $10 a month, there is so much content. Like, it is literally so much content, it's hard to keep up with. And that's a good thing, whether it's contests, because you guys give stuff away. It's Patreon radio. It's exclusive interviews. It is amazing. I'm on a couple Patreons. It's probably the best value pound for pound that I've seen.
Well, I appreciate that. We decided when we did it, we're just going to do one tier. We're not going to do the 2-tier thing. And I told Ian, if we're going to do it, we're going to do it all in. And I was like, I think $10 is going to wind up being a value. And it has been. I do want to say this, though, because I'm not sure when our episode is going to air. So it's probably going to air after this. Jason pretty much helped us acquire the R4 podcast, the Ridiculous Rock Record Review podcast. Aaron Martell's done a fabulous job on that, and he just couldn't do it anymore. And so Jason spearheaded that. So it's kind of going to be his baby. We're taking it over in February. We're going to have a revolving cast of characters, and we're going to maybe pick some people off our Patreon. But it's three or four people, and you just go track by track on an album. But it's not a lot of like back and forth dialogue. It's just kind of like matter of fact, like, well, this song starts off in a 3-4 and, you know, stuff like that. But we're going to have a good time with that. We've already got a spreadsheet of about 40 albums that we're working on. I think, if I'm not mistaken, the first one is going to be the second Collective Soul album. I know we're going to do like Alice in Chains, Jar of Flies, Motley Crue 94. We're going to do Master of Puppets. Jason's got a bunch of 90s stuff on there because he's Green Day's Dookie is going to be one of them. So be on the lookout for that, because and we're very grateful that Aaron Martell trusts us with his baby. And that's going to be something that we're going to do. And it's going to be a separate feed from State of America, but it's still going to involve us and a lot of our friends.
Sounds Brian, awesome. Sounds like we're going to have the State of America podcast network, perhaps.
We actually toyed with that at one point, and just things got in the way. But we'd actually talked to some other people about seeing if they wanted to kind of come on under our umbrella, but it didn't work out. But these things usually work out for the best, so it's probably way it's supposed to be.
It'd be a lot more work. Go, sorry, Brian, go ahead.
We failed to raise our hands. Well, I saw a while back you were like saying, you know, certain things under the State of America brand.
Yeah, that we did that thing called Album Club, and it was successful. A lot of people listened to it and downloaded it, but kind of talking to Ian and some other people, we just thought it kind of watered down what we were doing. It just not watered it down, but keep the main thing the main thing. And so that when the R4 thing came up, Jason had the idea for it, and he asked Ian and I what we thought about it. And well, that's the creative outlet we could all use. And Donchus does a great job on all of those podcasts as well. So he's going to do a great job kind of spearheading that, but that's kind of where we're going to get our kicks from. I used to do Digital Killed the Radio Star. It's not officially retired, but for all practical purposes it is. And so, we're just going to have fun talking about records, and we're going to do some that Aaron has already done before, maybe like a remix, we'll call it, or something like that. But, we obviously listen to more music than just the Black Crowes. So it's fun to talk music. It's basically what I've been doing my whole life, except it's just being recorded.
Yeah. And I know Brian and I both have been on Digital Killed before, and I always really enjoyed all those episodes.
Yeah. You know, we did a bunch. A whole lot more than I ever thought we would do. And Chris will tell you, he did the podcast as a favor to me. So, I always did pretty much everything with it. Now he booked a lot of guests and he especially the guests that I wasn't that familiar with, he laid out the interviews and did a good job on that. But, he just got married. He's got his first child on the way, and I've been concentrating on my health a lot, and it's just kind of fallen by the wayside. We may do one final goodbye at some point, but you know, life gets in the way, and like I said, Patreon takes up a lot of our time, and so does the podcast. So I'm not complaining. We had a great run. I had a lot of fun and got to meet a lot of people I never thought I would ever meet.
Yeah, that's always cool too, when you've got either a collection of guys or you know, people that you meet that, hey, I'm going to be in this city for a show, who's going to go join up with us that we, you know, that we can go to and hang out. You guys do a lot of that, or you even make some destination things for other people to come to, which I think is fantastic. Meet people from bands or in the business. So if you go somewhere, you got somebody to talk to, you know, sometimes you get tickets. So stuff that Brian and I kind of find out, that's really, it's a lot of fun outside of just doing the podcast, with meeting people, hanging out, getting some perks, like going to some shows.
Yeah, I'm never going to turn down anything free.
No, of course not. I do have a question for you, though, because I know you have a very special guest coming up on the State of More podcast, who, a guest that Brian and I have had on a couple times from a band that we love. Are you allowed to talk about who it is and when the episode's going to be?
Yeah, it's episode 100. It'll come out. We've got one coming out next, either this week or next week, with the Rich Robinson one.
Okay.
With
some you have a really special guest on that one.
Yeah, we couldn't get anybody, so we called Johannes here. That one's
Brian.
Coming
you
out.
Get to hear some of my shitty guitar playing on that podcast, and, just so you know.
Episode 100. It's our 100th proper episode of Just About the Black Crowes. It's going to be it's going to be Charlie Starr. And right so we've on. Had him on. We've had him on twice, and we have a couple of people that have told us yes for possibly in January that would be first timers. One of them I think is backing out on us, but we're gonna make it work. We got a lot of ideas. We're gonna retrack By Your Side with the B sides. And reorder the track listing and take obviously Diamond Ring and go tell the congregation are out. That's one of the things. Dontis has come up with like Black Crowes trivia. We're going to do Rich Robinson's Flux and just whatever interviews fall in our lap.
I can't wait for that By Your Side episode because all you guys are well aware I'm an unabashed By Your Side fan. But I do know that there are some of the best B-sides from their entire catalog off that record and some of the worst tracks actually included on that CD. So a remix, I can't wait to hear what come up because that could be a top three or four Crowes record if you did the right
those. You take Go Faster, in my opinion, you take Go Faster, Heavy, Diamond Ring, Go Tell the Congregation, put in Grows a Rose, You Don't Have to Go, It Must Be Over, and Peace Anyway, and you have a whole other beast there.
Grows
and
a Rose,
I think
anyway.
even the people that hate that record so much would tell you how much better that record would be with that.
The people that hate that record, I'm saying it right now in public, they have no sense of fun. It's just it's junk food. That record is junk food. There's a time and place for it.
So my theory on it is if that comes out after Shake Your Moneymaker, it's a loved album, but it came after Three Snakes and it completely was different than the progression that they were. Right. And they had conditioned the fan base with Amorica and with Three Snakes and with those shows, they conditioned the fan base not to be in the big rock shows. And so when you lose an original member and then, you know, you lose Mark Ford and you're not your critical success, but your financial success is reverting and you go right back to that kind of sound like Shake Your Moneymaker, it's startling. And I think they tried to get some of that back with Lines a little bit. With stuff like Greasy Grassy River, Lay It All on Me, even Midnight from the Inside Out. But I just feel like had that album come out after Shake Your Moneymaker, it would have been viewed differently for sure. And there's some radio-friendly hits on there. I mean, Kicking My Heart Around and Grows a Rose and Peace Anyway would have done fine on the radio.
Yep. That's the first time I think they had some extended airplay, both on the regular FM rock radio. We were laughing about that earlier today in a group chat. And then on MTV.
Yeah.
So I mean, Weird Al directed a video off of that record.
Crazy, isn't it?
I never thought of that as a huge departure. I mean, I understand and you know what you're explaining about the fan base and stuff. So I agree there. But for me, it was like, especially compared to everything else that was coming out around that time, it's like, hey, this is great compared to that. And I'm going to admit without shame, I didn't think I'd have to admit this. I didn't feel shame, but I like Go Tell the Congregation. I guess I'm the odd one out.
It's okay.
I mean, Heavy has a line that says, I like the way you wiggle your toes.
Yeah, Heavy.
That is not Under a Mountain. You know, that is not Wiser Time.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with stuff like that. It just wasn't them at the time.
I think, and David, you know this better than us, but they were told really, right, go in the studio, just go out there and rock it, just whatever comes. I don't think they probably did a bunch of takes or a bunch of rewrites on lyrics, and they just kind of went with whatever came to them.
I've been told that a lot of it was just on the fly. But, I mean, this is months after they record Band.
Yeah.
You know,
which is a shame, a crime that was never.
You go in and do another roadside tragedy, and then you go to this.
Speaking of band, is there any chance you think that it ever gets mixed and mastered and released?
I think the only way it would, if they were decide to do a true career box set. And I just don't know if the appetite is there. I mean, people like us would go for it because you've got those Daniel Lanois studio sessions in New Orleans with Exit on there. Those are floating around. I mean, there's so many versions of those songs that were on Tall. There's like four versions of Feathers and stuff like that. All that's laying around. And then I've had other people tell me there's just all kind of stuff laying around that we haven't even heard. Sure. And so, you know, obviously that's not going to sell a million copies, but I could see it coming out on something like that. Now, it was pulled about a year or so ago from the streaming services.
Yep.
And a lot of times when acts do that, it means something's coming up. But you got to think there's going to be an Amorica box set. I don't know if there would be enough of an appetite for Three Snakes, but if they ever did a proper box set, it's I would think it would be in there. But, you know, sometimes these guys take a left when they should take a right when it comes to stuff like this.
Sometimes. I have the Lost Crows on CD, and I've got one of those weird ones where they're mislabeled. You know, it's the opposite of what it's supposed to be. And, you know, that sounds pretty good. Obviously, it's still not polished up, but I would love to, one or two things, have somebody go back, kind of like what Jimmy Page has done with the Zeppelin cat, remaster it, or those guys go back in the studio and just re-record that record.
I don't think they could capture that, though. They had just come off basically 2 years of touring, and there were obvious issues both from a relationship standpoint and from a substance standpoint going on. And I think all that contributed to how good that album is. I mean, it's the last recorded music with Johnny Colt with the Black Crowes and Mark Ford. So I don't know if they could recapture that magic. I don't know. I just think that time may have passed.
Was band that was cut before the Further Festival run, right? Wasn't it?
I think it was cut after they came off the road with Three Snakes.
Right. And the Further Festival was in 97, summer of 97.
I'm pretty sure they were completely off the road.
Okay.
And they went in, I'm 95% sure, and then things fell apart after that. Because, you know, when we hit, the first time we had Johnny on, we talked about one of the songs on there, and he was like, I don't know what you're talking about. And so then we explained to him, he goes, oh yeah, yeah. It's, we went in the studio. He goes, that was some really good stuff. And then everything kind of ended.
So that was like right before Mark left, or?
Mark's on it. So Mark Johnny are on it. Yeah. So it couldn't have been long after Mark that, and Johnny that they both left.
So what's the story on why they never went forward to try to do something and get that out there?
I mean, they signed a big label deal for By Your Side. I don't think there was very much on there that would have been radio friendly. I could see them having a hit, honestly, on country music with Wyoming and Me. Mm-hmm. You could have thrown that out there, but I don't think there was anything necessarily that jumped out as big radio single. And By Your Side clearly had those songs. I mean, those songs got played a lot, at least where I live.
Yeah,
you know, same. Afternoon FM stations. So. Yeah. I don't know. It's just, you know, and they probably were wanting to move on from Johnny and Mark and have something different. Who knows what was really going on? We'll probably never get the complete truth on that. But,
Chris and Rich are so like open and talking.
Yeah. So, you know, we'll, if I ever talk to him, it is something I'm going to ask him about.
And Brian, like, listen, there is no better advocate for the Black Crowes than the State of Amorica State of Amorica podcast. I still don't know why you can't get one or both those guys to come on. I don't know.
We've tried, and I don't know, in my head, it may be like, let's say for some reason, somebody started a podcast about State of Amorica, which I know is never going to happen. And they want to have it may be kind of weird. But we definitely would give them probably one of the better interviews that they've ever done. I mean, I hate to brag, but I think we did the best Mark Ford interview I've ever heard.
Oh, for sure.
When we had him on. And I mean, we interviewed Sven. Sven doesn't talk, you know, right. I didn't even know what he sounded like until I talked to him on the phone. And then the Gorman one, I want to go back and redo. It was our first one. We were both honestly nervous. We knew it was a big deal. And yeah. I go back and listen to it, and I flubbed it several times with my questions and kind of got him off track. And then the first Johnny one was great. Audley told me he was going to come on, and then he won't respond to my text. So
I hear you.
We want to have we obviously want to have Luther on. And so I've got my fingers crossed that we're going to get them at one of them at some point, but we've been turned down a few times. So it is what it is.
I'm so impressed for how deeply you've got into like that community, you know, and then, like you say, you had people, you know, sending you stuff and music and memorabilia. And that's really impressive.
You know, it wasn't on purpose, and that's why I think it has gone the way that it has. I've never reached out to somebody and said, "Hey, do you have this? Do you have this?" And it's somewhat of a club. And if you can earn one or two people's trust, the word kind of spreads. I mean, we have gotten people on because other members of the band have vouched for us. We have gotten people on because people associated with the band have vouched for us. We've had people on that other people in that camp have reached out to and said, "Hey, would you come on?" And then they tell us. And then we've had some people that I'm never allowed to tell have helped us in a great deal. And so I just find, like, one, you can never betray their trust. And, you know, if they tell you something's off the record, it's off the record. And then if you treat them like human beings and don't, you know, like, "Oh my gosh, remember that time in 92, you know, and like, I've become legitimate friends with Johnny Colt. And I tell people, we have never picked up the phone and talked about the Black Crowes. Never even comes up, other than like when he was coming to my house or we went to his house and he's like, "Hey, I got this and this." It's just about life. And he's a genuine, authentic dude. But yeah, back to your point, when you get in the club, you're in the club. Now, you can't do anything to get kicked out. You get kicked out, I don't think you're getting back in. And so we didn't do any of this to like get anything out of it. It's just kind of naturally, you know, naturally happened. Sven took Ian backstage. He took me backstage. And we've never, in my opinion, done anything to hurt the Black Crowes name. There's a few times, you know, I state my opinion a little bit more forcibly than Ian does. But if you say you like 100% everything everybody does, that's called a cult. and you know, 98% of what they do, I think, is brilliant. There's a 2% that I have some issues with, and I'm, you know, I'd be disingenuous if I came on and it's like, "Oh yeah, Go Travel Congregation is one of the best songs they've ever written." It's one of the worst songs they've ever written. But I mean, Bob Dylan has a lot.
Sorry,
of
Brian.
Opinion,
that's but okay.
You know, people like Bob Dylan stuff, and even the most diehard Bob Dylan fan will say, "There's this one or two albums." But no, it's been fun to get to know these people and honestly become friends with a lot of them.
Oh, definitely, for sure. And you know, you guys, while not a cult, you're always very positive and very fair, I think, you know, to the band, everybody involved in the band too. And I think that's appreciated. The energy's there, it's good. And even when the things, to your point, David, that you can be critical of, you do it in a fair and fun and whatever manner. It's never to the point of being like negative or bad.
No, it's not. And I was told one time by a person that was in the presence of some other people with, I'm not going to say who, but they were in the presence of some people and said, "Yeah, all they do is bash the Crowes on that podcast." And
oh my God, it's a complete opposite. Like,
this,
you know,
this
even
person,
when there's
this
a
person
softball.
Said he just stepped in and goes, "Stop it right there." You know, so there's no telling what could get clipped out and given to people. But if I had Chris and Rich on, I mean, I'd be like, you know, 98% of what you do is brilliant. There's a couple of things that, you know, took a left
turn.
Who
was advising you on your business?
Yeah. No, I, you know, I really want to talk music with Rich.
Yeah.
I really do. And I would love to have an honest, focused conversation with Chris.
Yeah.
Where you know, he's in the right headspace and we can just talk music and not talk, you know, say, you know, not just be a straightforward interview.
If you promise me this, if you get a chance to talk to Rich, I want you to ask him, has he ever watched Peaky Blinders, that series on Netflix? Because Nick Cave has a theme song for it, which one of his songs, and it's nothing but Nick Cave music throughout. And he's a big Nick Cave guy, right?
Yeah. You know, that he talks about him and Keith for their alternate tunings. And that's kind of where he learned all of that.
I would just love to hear if he's seen that show and then, you know, have him talk about it.
I mean, can you imagine Rich Robinson at night watching Netflix?
That's the stuff I like to talk about with people. Like, everybody asks the same music questions. It's like, you're like, how do you live your life? Like, what do you do?
I mean, are you going to Domino's and picking up the you know, the deep dish?
Well, what toppings do you like? Do you get breadsticks? I mean, you know.
Yeah.
I would think, you know, talking to him about gear, about guitars and stuff would, you know, could be, you know, that would be a more interesting conversation to him than some journalists that are going to ask him all the cookie cutter questions.
Well,
and stuff.
If we ever have him on, we never like outline interviews. We haven't done that since Mark Ford, but I've learned some tricks along the way of how to get in good with people very early on in interview. And one of the things we'd like to talk to him is each one of us pick a solo song and ask him about that and then get into the gear. Ian can talk the gear. I'm just gonna have to be sit there and, you know, stare into the screen.
Well, you know, your podcast like ours too is very organic, and it's not journalism like what people do. It is conversations, and me personally, like, I'm not gonna pretend to be a journalist. I'm not, but I would love to, and Brian does the same thing. We just sit and talk to you like, hey, if we ran into you somewhere, these are the conversations that we would have.
Yeah, you have to have a good mix of that. I have found if somebody's promoting something,
sure, you got to do that.
Get into it first, and really be interested and do your homework on it, and then that sets them at ease.
I do the opposite, Brian. We do the opposite a little bit. We do some small talk and some fun, like getting people engaged, and then we go to a little bit to what they're promoting to. Just, I think we try to disarm people, make them feel a little bit more comfortable. Like, hey, we're, you know, we're just kind of here to have a little bit of fun.
It's, you know, I think it's maybe a little less, I shouldn't say easier for us, but I mean, we're dealing with a lot of more like newer artists and stuff, but
yeah,
I do feel like we've gotten like really in a good place. Not that we weren't in a good place, but I think we've really gotten, I feel like we've gotten deep with Charlie Starr into, we've gotten his trust and stuff. But I was going to say the other thing too, it's been so interesting. I think it'd be interesting to talk to Rich about is just that history of music in Atlanta, you know, and just like, that's such a big thing to me, the camaraderie between bands. And, you know, when we talked to Andrew Cycler from Rare Birds, it was just fascinating because he's been around those guys since, you know, Mr. Crow's Garden days. So yeah, that Atlanta music, rock.
But, you know, one of the things I find interesting about this, you don't hear them associated with anybody else from Atlanta other than like Mary My Hope.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's because Gorman was in it and Sven was in it. You don't really hear about them. Well, Driving and Crying had already kind of broke by then, but you don't really hear about them interacting with them that much. And I know they played shows together and they're friends, but I personally, this is somewhat controversial, I kind of feel like they separated themselves from Atlanta. You know, they were more into The Replacements and REM than they were Lynyrd Skynyrd or the Allman Brothers.
Yeah. Right.
I mean,
right.
That's clearly obvious. Listen to Mr. Crow's Guard stuff. And then, you know, they were into punk. And if you listen to that stuff pre Shake Your Moneymaker, it doesn't sound like Shake Your Moneymaker.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
So I don't know how, not plugged in, but how much they wanted to be in that scene, because you just don't hear a lot of people that went on to really do anything around that time, really talk about them.
Well, I think too is, until Mark Ford got in the band, they probably didn't have somebody with the background or the musical chops of that style of music either, like the Southern rock or the, you know, the more the blues rock, right? Because Mark really brought that into Southern harmony and everything else.
Yeah, he definitely did. He definitely did. I think he just took a great band, really good, great band, and made them exceptional.
Yeah. Yep.
I got to ask your opinion, David, about, I know when you guys had Britt on, I remember you asked him, like, what influence, you know, did Crows influence them? And he said, oh, well, probably. What's your opinion on that? Because I think they're still stylistically similar. And I know, obviously, Charlie and those guys have so many wide variety of music tastes or whatever. But
well, I mean, Britt was in like a hardcore punk band, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm. Well, him and Richard were in a band called Nihilist. Yeah. They like opened up for like Slayer and Testament and stuff down there.
Yeah. So I like what Blackberry Smoke has done. I think they've taken some of the better elements of the Black Crowes, at least musically. And I think they treat their fans well. One of the things we talk about him on there is just how much merch they have.
Yeah.
They have millions of shirts. And he tells a funny joke about wanting a brown shirt, how it was the worst selling shirt they ever had. But I told him this, and of anybody that I've met through all this, I haven't met another band that cares as much and does as much for their fans as they do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They really go all out with the merch and the shows. But no, I think there's undeniably that the Crows influenced that. I mean, Richard and Britt were around from Jump Street, seemingly, and then really got involved around that Three Snakes time. And Charlie obviously grew up listening to them. And so I think they probably took some of that, you know, let's change the set list up, let's jam it out, let's have some tasteful covers. I'm sure they got some of that from them.
So we're going to throw a trivia question at you here, David.
All right.
Chris Robinson of the Black Crowes helped name Blackberry Smoke, but there was an original name he told Charlie that the band should be called. Do you remember the name?
It was something vulgar, wasn't it?
Yep.
I can't remember the name, but I remember being pretty vulgar.
Brian, do you remember?
Yeah. You're saying it, man. Well, I mean, he first brought up New Earth Mud to them. I know that.
Yeah, but Sweatpants Boner was like the one he wanted. He said, you should call yourself Sweatpants Boner.
Yeah, and that's gonna put butts in the seats.
That's gonna limit where you can play and how much merch you sell, yeah. I think.
Yeah.
Well, Brian, should we get to the big Black Crowes news and the reason that we really wanted David on here to talk about what we've some very important information about the Crowes this week?
Let's do it.
So, David, we'll let you talk about it. So what is going on? What have we heard concrete about the Black Crowes in 2024?
It looks like the album is coming out March the 15th. It's going to have 10 songs on it. One of them is going to be Lainey Wilson, who's like a up-and-coming country singer. She's going to be on it. I've been told with pretty much good authority, and it was described as a big, fat rock record. And I think that's what we're going to get. Obviously, Stern played a snippet of Wanting and Waiting, and it's going to drop 2 days after we record this. And so by the time this out, people will have heard it. The part I heard, I liked. It was a little more to the lyrics. It's got a little bit of a By Your Side sound to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a full sound, and I'm actually more excited about this than I was about 6 months ago. I've heard from some people that have listened to some of it that we're gonna like it.
One thing I picked up on listening to the little snippet on Stern the other day is the keys back to the swirling rock sound and not so much of the space stuff that we've got in the kind of the later part of the band. So that was really encouraging. It sounded great, very upbeat. And again, I cannot wait until actually today, this is coming out on Friday the 12th, to hear the whole entire track.
Yeah. The other interesting thing to find out is who's playing. We know it's Rich, Chris, and Sven. Don't necessarily
so we don't know. other guitar drummer.
It said the thing I read said it was recorded early of 23, and I don't think Nico was in the band then. So
Isaiah. You
know, Rich has been known to do all the guitars on an album. I mean, look, anytime Chris and Rich are making music, I'm going to go for it and I'm going to listen to it. And I'm probably going to get a little too excited the day it comes out and be like, oh, it's one of the best records ever. And it still may be. Then I'll come down from it a little bit. I'm like a child. But I'm really excited about this. It's great that they're back together in any formation. And it's been a long time since they've written something. It's been a long time since they wrote rock songs together. So Chris has definitely been in that rock star vibe here lately. And I think we're in for a good time. I think we're in for a fun record.
And what is the title of the record?
Happiness Bastards.
That's a weird title for Black Crowes record.
It is, and you know, some stores may not carry it with that
or
name.
They're going to block out one of the words on the front of it. I mean, do you suppose that it might be an insight to their state of mind when they were making it?
Either that, or it's a joke that we don't know the punchline for.
I mean, and there's another song too. Go ahead.
I would have gone with something else, but that's just me.
It doesn't fit of where kind of we've seen the track titles or the record titles for Black Crowes, and they're
they've never been a band that has a lot of swear words.
No, you know, or just like goofy stuff.
Yeah. So maybe we'll find out if we were to ever have them on. I'll ask them where the title came from.
It was a while back that I think Eddie Trunk had posted on one of his socials that he had heard some of the stuff and that the title had a funny tongue-in-cheek kind of name. But I'm interested to you know, try to figure out, you know, have my own opinion of what the subject matter of Rats and Clowns and Bleed It Dry. It sounds kind of interesting.
Bleed It Dry sounds like a Rolling Stone song, like Let It Bleed, but Bleed It Dry, like part two.
Interesting titles for sure.
Well, let's run through them because I think we've got the speculative track listing or something that we were. So the record will be called Happiness Bastards. Like you said, David, March 15th, 2024. Side one, track one, Bedside Manners. Track two, Rats and Clowns. Track three, Cross Your Fingers. Track four, Wanting and Waiting. And track five is Wilted Rose featuring Lainey Wilson, like you said. Side two, another five songs, Dirty Cold Sun. Bleed It Dry, Flesh Wound, Follow the Moon, and Kindred Friend is the 10th and final track.
Interesting titles.
Definitely interesting
titles. And you know, normally the second song is the lead single.
Yeah, and we've got the fourth song on side one is the lead single.
Yeah. Yeah, I was excited when Stern played that little snippet of it. I've actually had some people that are pretty cynical about the Black Crowes message me go, hey, I'm kind of encouraged by this.
I was. Brian, were you when we saw that?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, the song titles are interesting. I mean, so maybe there's some, you know, it sounds By Your Side era, but I've got a feeling it's going to be a little more, you know, lyrically deep a little bit, or a little more like caring more about the lyrics. I know I can't remember where I read it, but I think, you know, Chris had said at that time he wasn't really enthused about writing lyrics for the By Your Side stuff or some of it.
I thought this track had a good hook on the chorus. So once they got to the chorus, pre-chorus, and then the actual chorus, the hook was pretty big on it.
I mean, it sounds like them. It sounds like it should. Yeah. So
yeah, it's the best compliment you can make us, right? Hey, this sounds like the Crowes rocking.
Sounds like a band that hadn't written a rock record in a while.
Yep, and wanted to get back into it, and hopefully all the touring under the Shake Your Money Maker stuff with a little bit more upbeat materials kind of you know, carried over into this record. I think that's kind of the rumor, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
All right, David, beyond the record, which we know is coming out in March, what should we expect from the Black Crowes this year?
I've heard a busy year.
Anything else? What's that?
I was told, quote unquote, a busy year.
Okay. What does that mean?
You know, nobody knows what all's going on with this Aerosmith thing.
Right.
Are they still tied to it or not? Is it even going to happen?
Yeah, it's a hell of an injury for a guy in his 70s to recover from.
I'm fairly informed that they're going to tour the album.
Okay.
And
you don't know if it's going to be this year because we got to see how the Aerosmith stuff shakes out.
I mean, I've heard the Aerosmith show, if it happens, is late next year.
Like,
I mean, I think Joe Perry alluded to that. If it happens, it's going to be later than sooner.
You mean like 25 or 24?
24.
Okay, so basically where it was supposed to happen this last year, it's going to happen 1 year later, like the fall, winter.
I mean, it just sounds like they don't know, like, if it's going to happen.
And that's tough, too, with a band. They got a new record out. They're hoping to build the enthusiasm on the Aerosmith tour, which had a lot of hype. Now they're kind of in limbo with the record coming out.
Yeah, it's a weird place to be. I just want them to do some smaller venues and vary the set list up. You know, if they're doing like a true show, like a theater or something like that, they're going to have to play more than 14, 15 songs.
Yeah. Yep.
Also interesting to see how many of these songs they actually play live.
Like Keith said about the Stones in 2002 or three, when they always play the stadium, but they're going to do arenas and theaters. He goes, we need more ammo. So like you said, they're if Crows are going to do theaters, they're going to need more ammo.
Yeah. And you know, they are pretty good when an album comes out on the first tour. They at least play every song once.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, I'm confident they are a big enough draw to play these 3,000 seat stadiums or 335 seat sheds that are kind of those mid-sized venues. I think that's perfect. Like the ones that the Blackberry Smokes go in and play through, they should at a minimum still be able to put that many butts in the seats. I don't know if they're going to go, you know, without Ticketmaster and stuff behind them, do these huge, you know, 20,000 seat amphitheaters, but I mean, there's no reason why they can't play 3,500, 4,000 seat venues.
No. And especially packaged with the right group.
That'd be my next question. Like, you know, what's our hopes or desires for opening bands? Cause like all through the 90s and that stuff, you'd get someone that you hadn't heard of. And then you got presented with, you know, this, you know, new band, whoever it might be, or newer band.
It'll either be somebody that's very obvious or somebody that's completely out of left field. You know, Chris is real tight with Rademacher from Beachwood Sparks, who has Curation Records. And Chris has hopped in there and helped some. And the Uniboys actually opened for him in Las Vegas. And so I could see something like that. But they're going to need somebody with more, you know, maybe that could be like the first opening band. But they're going to need somebody with a little more kick behind them. Yeah, but I mean, you look out there, you got Marcus King sitting there. You know, you've got, I really think a band like the Black Pumas would go over well with them. They have a great live show, a little more soul and R&B. And then, you know, the obvious one's Blackberry Smoke, which means it'll never happen.
Right.
It's the obvious one. But you go down and you start thinking, like, it's got to be somebody that, it can't just be somebody you go, oh, they're really good. It's got to be somebody that adds to the draw. And Blackberry Smoke has a very devoted fan base that are very loyal. And so it's bigger than a lot of people I see, you know, think it is. But obviously Marcus and Blackberry Smoke, there's history with the Drive-By Truckers. I don't know how much they could bring to a place like that. But
I saw the Truckers open up for the Crows in the early 2000s, mid-2000s.
Yeah. So it's got to be somebody, I think, that can help with ticket sales.
I don't know if I want to see Blackberry Smoke open for the Crows. I think they're bigger than that. Like, I always want to see, you know, Smoke headline shows. Obviously, they wouldn't headline over the Crows. But I know, like, I swear I saw that there was Whiskey Myers opened up a show or two on one of lately, not lately, but in the last year or so, I thought, for the Crows. I mean, I know like they've written a song with Rich.
Well, I mean, if they're truly trying to embrace this kind of rock and semi-Southern rock roots, something like that would work to some extent. I just think they got to get somebody that's got a decent draw.
That people would show up for them.
Yeah, it can't be like, oh, you know, we're playing Driving and Crying in Atlanta. You know, we're going to get an extra 400 or 500 people. Hey, it needs to be. you know, a real name.
What if maybe they get Lainey Wilson and she comes on stage for that song?
There you go. It's probably the, I don't know if that's the crowd they're looking for, but right. It might draw.
I really like her voice.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to crap on this thing. I think it's going to be good.
Yeah, there are a lot of good country artists. Like Maren Morris now is moving away from the country to do a little bit more rock pop stuff. Has a great voice too.
Amanda Shires.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Jason Isbell's wife, and then oh gosh, she had a record last year. I really like. God, I'm blanking on her name now. I have to look this up.
Talk Jason Isbell in the 400 unit.
Ooh.
That's actually interesting. I mean, he could definitely put some seats there.
And he's a huge Black Crowes fan too, as we know, because he covered the Black Crowes with Gorman playing drums on Sometimes Salvation already.
Yeah.
That could be killer. Margot Price.
Margot Price, yeah. She's kind of the flavor of the moment.
Yeah. Her record was really good. The one that came out early last year, really good. Not country at all. It was definitely more, a little bit more mainstream. I also think it
would be cool if they did city specific. Like if they're playing Birmingham, have Brother Kane. Atlanta, Heaven and Crime. You know,
man, I saw Brother Kane in November. They were really good. They were really good on that reunion tour. Yeah, man. Freaking Damon Johnson and Tony Higbee on guitar. It was killer. Really killer. All right, David, anything else that you have a feel? I know you said you were told it's going to be a busy year, but like, what's your prediction for the year for the Black Rose?
I think it's going to be a good one for them. I think they're going to get back out a little more intimate setting, okay, maybe, and get to be themselves a little bit more. And obviously, though, they've got a concerted effort behind this push. You know, you had the whole thing with Stern. That wasn't unplanned. And we'll see what happens Friday when they release all the information. Obviously, we're going to buy a bunch of copies, CDs, and records and stuff like that and send out and shirts. So we're on board for it. We're ready. I think there's a lot of unknowns, but the exact quote was, you're going to have a fun 12 months.
Is there a pre-sale link out for the record?
Not yet. I mean, all of this is based on stuff that has been sent to like industry people.
Yeah. Well, I know in our chat group that we have, the State of America group, the State Tall group, somebody tracked down that record pretty fast. You know, mm-hmm. We'd already planned on having you and Ian on to talk about what's going on with the Crowes, and then this popped up, and that necessitated a little bit quicker action to have you guys, you know, hop on and tell us a little bit about what you know is happening.
You know, it's been what, 14, 15 years since we had original music from them. It's a long time. I think Chris's voice sounds really good. So you don't wait that long and make a record and mail it in.
Well, wasn't the rumor there was like potentially up to 20 songs they had gone in and had or recorded?
The story went that they were saying in interviews was that they had two albums worth of material.
Do you think that's true?
They're prolific.
Yeah. But we also have band sitting in the vault somewhere.
It's true.
I think I didn't recognize the producer's name that someone said they worked with.
I think he's a country guy.
Yeah. Kerkulius was just there to do the Southern Harmony.
You know, when they made the announcement on CERN or whatever, it sounded like Kerkulius was going to do it. He's a busy guy. And maybe when the Crowes wanted to record, he was tied up.
Before we get you out of here in a few, David, answer me this question. If you had complete control over the Black Crowes and any decisions they make, what's the one thing you 100% would have them do? Like, that you got to do this.
Embrace all parts of their career. Don't whitewash some of it and kind of forget it. Play the Three Snakes songs, play the band songs, play the By Your Side songs.
Yeah.
Just don't make it all the big rock songs, because that's not all who they are. Embrace all eras of the band. And they've gotten a lot of the common folk back. It's time to bring people like us back. And what I mean is, you want to get more people like that at multiple shows. And then I would tell them, you do an Amorica box set, you do it right, you put Exit in there, you put several versions of those Tall songs on there. And then I guess kind of the holy grail is that album release party they did for Amorica that nobody will talk about what all happened. Eric Bobo from Cypress Hill was on. He said, man, he said,
that was a great episode.
He's like, you're not getting any details out of me. It was wild. He said he went back to the Cypress guys and goes, those Black Crowes, man, they're on a whole other level. No, just some stuff like that. I think they need to embrace some of that while doing the new stuff. I would like to see, you know, maybe they release a deluxe edition of this with, you know, some alternate takes or some songs that didn't make it. Throw in a cool cover, you know, go in and properly record something like Torn and Frayed or Fearless or something like that. Throw it out there. But they definitely have better management for the times. And so, I would like to see them just do an interview where they're themselves. Do a really good interview where they're not so guarded. And just be like, hey, I'm not going to ask you anything controversial, but let's just talk about some of this music. It's okay to talk about who played on the album, even if you don't like them.
Well, I know a great platform where they can go in and have an interview like that, don't you, Brian?
I do.
Yeah. We'll see.
If you need a recommendation, just send them our way. Brian and I will give you a good one.
Okay.
Whatever that's worth.
No, I got my fingers crossed. I think it's going to happen sooner rather than later.
I do too. Brian, do you have a wish for what you'd like to see from the Black Crowes that we're not getting?
David said it, you know, like embrace all eras, you know. We'd like to see, you know, a little more mixing it up, you know. I mean, there's the staple songs and stuff, but, you know, it's kind of like, what, you know, Blackberry Smoke, but you always get, you know, Ain't Much Left of Me at the end. You always get Sleeping Dogs. You always get Waiting for the Thunder. You always get, you run away from it all. But there's like, it's almost like changing on a hard drive or whatever. Like there's going to be the staple songs. You'd like to, you know, get some deeper cuts and, you know, a good mixture of, you know, like a Shake Your Money Maker type of show, but with a good mix of the 90s theater shows.
Yeah. My thing would be just like, I think we always joke about that in our groups, but release the vaults. They have so much material and so much content. Like, don't hold on to it. Get it out there. You know, release some stuff that we haven't heard just because there's a lot. All right, David, we appreciate your time and hopping on here to talk over this Black Crowes news, this big news about the record coming out here in March. Where do we send our listeners? If they're already not listening, they should be listening to you, but where do they go to find out more about the State of
America? I mean, we're everywhere on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, State of America Podcast. We're on all the streaming services. You can go to patreon.com/State of America. There is actually a free tier. We don't really do much with that. Sometimes it's just kind of like to tease and get people onto the paid tier, but come on, you'll enjoy it. I'm about to do a Patreon radio entitled When Grunge Goes Acoustic. So acoustic songs from grunge bands. And we're going to do something I think is going to be kind of neat, celebrating the year of 1994. Is the year I graduated high school and Jason graduated high school. And we're going to pick albums from 94. And Ian and I both threw out on there, we want to do that Motley Crue 94 album. And we might as well have insulted Jason's mom. And he even went to like Twitter and he went to like text groups, like, you know, can y'all believe they want to do this? And so finally he's like, I mean, if y'all really want to do it. And I'm like, it's a great album. I was like, I don't like Motley Crue, but I love this album. So we're going to do some stuff like that. And we're going to pick some patrons. We did this once to come on a podcast. They don't talk. We turn their mic off, but they sit in kind of like an audience and watch an interview. We did that with Joe from Steepwater Band.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
Yeah, we're going to do stuff like that. I just designed a hoodie, and we're not going to sell it. I'm just going to give a few away to people as prizes. And want to start doing the State of America meetup more often. Got my eyes on Red Rocks, if they play Red Rocks on this tour.
Yeah.
So that would be a fun one. We've had, there's going to be more things with Johnny Colt. Those are always so much fun. And the fun part, and we talked about this when we were down there, it's the hanging out with people. We had, I think, 20 people there and like eight I never met before. And it was nice to put a name to those faces and us just all kind of hang out and like one big family. And then next thing you know, you're hanging out with Johnny Colt for a couple hours. And he treats you that way. That's the most important thing.
Well, Brian and I are early subscribers to the Patreon. So all of our listeners, you know, we love the Crows. We know you love State of America. We paid to be part of the Patreon. You guys should hop on that too, because they're not just Black Crows. They do a lot of great stuff. Like I said earlier on this episode, it's the best bang for your buck that I've seen so far on any Patreon podcast. Brian, we'll toss it over to you.
Well, thank you so much to David Hudson from the State of America. Thanks for everything you do. And for those that don't know, Jason said at the beginning too, like this podcast, All Things Blues and Southern Rock, would not exist without the State of America. You know, before I started it, you're the guy I talked to, I called on the phone, and you're so kind of, to give me some advice and feedback. And, you kept kind of checking in with me and inspiring me to, hey, you got the thing started yet? I was like, man,
I told you, just go buy it.
So, yeah.
Buy a microphone.
So thank you so much, David, for coming on again. Always a great time chatting with you.
Do you guys do a play out song?
What's going to be the
single? We always do something, but Brian, David, and Ian always ask their guests to pick out a play of song. So why don't we give David that option to pick out what you want us to do?
Let's crank a piece anyway from the By Your Side sessions.
There you go. We'll do it. Thank you so much to David for coming on and talking crows with us. It's always great to get a little extra time with him to chat and catch up and hear about some great things, you know, great health things for him and what they got coming up on State of America and just getting our crows enthusiasm going again.
Yeah, for sure, man. You know, we get a chance to talk with David in a group because we're in group chats with him and Ian and everybody else, our friends out there. But it's nice to have him on just to talk straight up about what's going on, catch up, and then the crow stuff. So honestly, join their Patreon, subscribe to the State of America podcast. It's more than just the Black Crows. It's one of my three favorite podcasts, Brian, obviously ours, State of America, and then, you know, the Hook Rocks with our other friend Jay are the three music-related podcasts I always go to.
Yeah, and so fun to kind of anticipate what we hope happens for a tour and what we think might happen. And, you know, it's like I said in the interview or in the interview, in our chat. It's not an interview. It's a chat.
Especially with our friend.
Yeah, and I said, you know, it's just such a compliment to those guys, like how – you know, deep they've gotten into, you know, some of the Black Crows community. And that's just a great fringe benefit for them and us. And, you know, we get to hear about some great stuff, you know, maybe before, you know, sometimes
they've got the inside scoop. So if you're a Crows fan, you gotta be subscribed and listen to their stuff because you're going to get it before anybody else. You know, they're your go-to. We're just happy that we get some of that information. We love the Crows. We love to talk about it. And get a bit of insight to what's going on. We stopped us in our tracks to record this conversation.
Yeah. So, yeah, just keep your ears open for the State of America and everything coming up Black Crows wise. And we'll tell you as well. So until then, always remember, Southern Rock is reverent, blues is blood. We'll see you next time.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.